Hello again, my Advent friends. We are back, and it is Advent Sunday number 3. This one has a special name, Gaudete, which is Latin for rejoice. How great is that? And our Bible story today is back in Luke 1 again. And it's about as close as the Bible gets to a musical. Seriously, Mary sings, Zechariah sings, it's all singing. Musical. Not like Luke's Gospel musical, the series, but close. Okay, so the text doesn't actually say they sang the words, but the words are so beautifully poetic. They're worthy of song. And don't make fun of me, but the first time I heard the Latin name for the first song, I kind of sort of thought it was a feline superhero. I don't know Latin. And for me, Magnificat kind of sounds like a superpowered cat. Okay, so now I'm in trouble. But it is truly a beautifully rich song from Mary. I can't wait to get there. But first, let's talk about joy. Rejoice is a great word, isn't it? To find joy in something. Notice that we rejoice in. We choose to focus on it. That's why Philippians 4 tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. I always found it funny that he has to repeat it, like immediately. Like in between the period and the next sentence, we already forgot. Which, admittedly, I do. Do you ever catch yourself in the best circumstances and you just forget joy? Oh, speaking of forget, time out. I forgot the candles. It's our third candle. And if you have a traditional set, today we light the pink one for joy. Now, if everyone remembered right, we already have the first two lit to pick up where we left off. Hope and peace are still burning bright. Or if you don't, time to pause and light them. Now, where was I? Oh yeah, forgetting. Joy, that is. It's a tough one for me. I'm a naturally joyful person, and joyful me is my favorite version of me. But I have to admit, stress can steal it. Also, not every experience is joyful. A lot of life is sorrowful. So how does this rejoice always thing actually work? And that brings me to my story for this year. I told you already that my year has run the gamut on emotions. Remember that day I went to the hospital for one grandbaby and one chemo kid in the same day? Earlier that week, I spent part of a day helping a good friend navigate the heart wreck of divorce. And just hours later, attending a wedding for two young people I absolutely love. That's a lot for one man's heart. Now, I was determined to enjoy the joyful. But life is also hard. Is it even right to rejoice always? Well, I also happened to spend the summer studying through Job. And I saw there a godly and blameless man expressing some dark and negative emotions. And his lament was an expression of faith. The Bible has it many times. Even Jesus wept. And something profound hit me. Joy is not the opposite of sadness. Happiness is. So what's the opposite of joy? I think there's a clue in John 15. After delivering some very hard news mixed with encouragement, Jesus tells the disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." And it's that last word that hits me. Full. Joy is a fullness. And I think the opposite of joy is an emptiness. God's presence brings a fullness. Happy and sad are on a different scale entirely. Things are good, be happy. Things are rough, be sad. You're human. But apart from God, they are both shallow experiences, just feelings. But knowing that God is with us, happy and sad are both full and sacred experiences. Each one can have a joy. Joy can be happy for all the fun and fellowship of holiday traditions, but it can also grieve the loved ones that we miss at Christmas. It's okay to feel your feelings. Joy can handle it. It's resilient. In Nehemiah 8, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's the heart of the Advent story, isn't it? Jesus is coming to be God with us, not to make the sad things go away, not to pretend they aren't here, but to be with us through good times and bad. Well, it's time to light the candle. Who's got the lighter? Ready? Let's pray. Lord, we light this candle together to honor the coming of Jesus as we choose to rejoice in you. And we welcome your joy so that our joy may be full. In Jesus' strong name, amen. And with that, it is time for our Bible story. We won't have time to add commentary this time, so we're going to read it straight through. And as you listen, I want you to picture it. It's a beautiful scene, and it is packed with joy. Recall that young Mary and her elder cousin Elizabeth are both pregnant now. For Elizabeth, a blessing she thought would never happen. For Mary, a shocking surprise that shouldn't be possible. Both babies have the promise of phenomenal purpose from God. I have to admit, this story is a little extra fun for me this year, because we just welcomed two granddaughters just 3 weeks apart, and my family loves babies. Babies and joy are a great combination. So as we read, imagine the voice of Mary singing with the fullness of knowing God's presence. Feel Zechariah's deep joy at a dream fulfilled at long last, and God now giving purpose to all their long struggles. It's so good. So let's begin at Luke 1, verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned home. Now, if you're following along, we're at verse 57 now. Still one song to go in our musical, but a little story comes first, and a baby. Babies are a great reason for joy. Now recall that Zechariah is Elizabeth's husband, and both of them prayed for years for a child and basically gave up. So let's read. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Now remember at this part that Zechariah can't speak, hasn't for a while, because he doubted God's promise. Okay, verse 62. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And that's it. And now you know how John the Baptist was born, Jesus' cousin. If you have time, reflect on what joy has meant to you this year, in your story and in this story. If you're with others, share together. Maybe try to put some of the song to music and start your own musical. Lord, we thank you for the gift of joy. Help us to rejoice in you this season. And may your joy fill us and be our strength. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, time to go. If you're following Mark, I'll see you guys tomorrow. The rest of you, see you next week. And when you're all done, candles out.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.